Hi, my name is Janelle Engelstad, and welcome to the MAP Radio Hour, a Make Art with Purpose podcast. The MAP Radio Hour includes conversations with creatives, scientists, and other people addressing the intersection of cultural, political, and environmental concerns. You can find out more about MAP and our projects at makeartwithpurpose.net. This episode of the MAP Radio Hour features Austin-based artist Bailey Liu, one of 19 women artists and writers participating in MAP's festival, MAP 2020, The Further We Roll, The More We Gain, which commemorates the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. We talked about her piece for MAP 2020, as well as her wider work and experience as an immigrant to the United States from China. Our conversation took place at the Crow Museum of Asian Art in Dallas, where Bailey was installing her solo exhibition, One and Another. Let's start by talking about the piece that you've designed for MAP 2020. And I know that it's connected in many ways to much of your other work and your recent thinking and consideration of what's been happening on the border of Texas with migration and with migrants. Was that a piece you were thinking of anyway, or how did it evolve?
I would say both. Part of my practice is experimenting and exploring material, and in this case objects, which are children's clothing. The topic I was looking at was the migrant children crisis when our government decided to implement the zero tolerance policy in April 2018. So we're looking at almost 2 years after the policy was established. And many of these children are still not home yet with their parents and their mothers. So when I was invited to participate in the MAP 2020, I was thinking about the women, the anonymous women who came to the border because of difficult situations of their life, overcoming so much difficulty, and with their child being taken away or their children being taken away, sometimes from their arms. I'm thinking about that trauma and this unresolved situation that we still don't know the answers for. So I created an installation entitled Each and Every, for which I had hundreds of pieces of children's clothing immersed in cement and hardened and preserved. For me, I'm seeing it as both being preserved but also entombed. So it's a quite solemn view when you see the hundreds of clothing. They're laid out in a large expanse on the floor, supported slightly above, as if hovering. I then had thousands of threads descending from the ceiling, with them partially coated in cement. So the cement is weighing it down and also stiffening this material that's usually seen as soft and malleable and tender. So this disconnection between the threads and clothing is also very important, that inability to support and help. With this piece, I also had a performance component where I mended torn children's clothing as almost an action of prayer, looking at perhaps the hopeful future where these clothing are being given another life. Maybe the children can go back home to their parents and mothers. So this is one of the two projects that we're installing at the Crow Museum of Asian Art. It traveled from Seattle at Med Art Studios, which was the first place it was commissioned. And I had this strong hope to bring it back to Texas. I live and work in Austin. This is my home state. And it's also where the migrant children were taken away and being held, the centers for these kids. So I thought it's very important and meaningful to bring it back to Texas, and I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to bring them back. So following that, I was still looking at these pieces of clothing. For me, they are the vessel of this love and tenderness that we have for our children. As a mother myself, you know, I've clothed my daughter and washed these clothes, folded them over and over again. I'm thinking about how these soft pieces of small clothing, they held her warmth and my touch. And it, in extension, the warmth of all the children and all the touches from the mothers and fathers. So they become this very symbolic vessel, that all this tenderness and connection. And I started cutting off the material of the clothing, where only the seams and hems remain, and sometimes the detail of the collars and sleeves, like the cuffs. And they become the shadow image of the clothing, which is the shadow image of the children. So when I think about the flag I created for MAP 2020, I'm thinking about the absence of the absence. So that double-layered void, which I find really poetic and quite heartbreaking, but is also a beautiful image, is calligraphic. And to create the print, I connected all these outlines of children's clothing. They're almost like contour drawings. I then laid it on a piece of fabric and expose it using the cyanotype process, which using sunlight to create this shadow print. So that is the origin of the image.
That was a large cyanotype.
It is a very large
cyanotype.
I used
to do many cyanotypes back in my photography days, so
yes.
That's quite impressive.
Yeah, it was really satisfying to see them all come together.
Yeah.
The scale is important because there are so many kids, you know, each piece of clothing, that each little body, and then they're repeated to have this massive scale.
Right. Where's the clothing sourced from? Do you actually put some of your daughter's old clothing
Absolutely.
In there? Or is it all that? Or
it's not all that. So for the installation, each and every, I would say a third of the clothing in there are my daughter's.
Uh-huh.
I saved a lot of her clothes.
Uh-huh.
Thinking about eventually I'd like to do some art project with them.
Right.
Because of my attachment to them, as an artist, I collect materials, and it is very unexpected. It evolved to be this piece because the zero tolerance policy started when my daughter was 4.
Uh-huh.
So I already had all these clothing, and thinking about what I could do, and that connection just happened. So once I had the idea, I then called for donations at her school, at her daycare,
uh-huh.
and other parents, mothers, they brought their kids' clothes to contribute it into this piece.
Uh-huh.
I also asked all my parent friends and to say,
yes.
I'm looking for used and especially torn and stained clothing
uh-huh.
for this piece. Yeah.
Right. When you were talking about sort of the evolution of the piece at the beginning, it made me think not only of the mother but of the child and the child within us.
Yes.
And how, as artists and creative people, we come to, I think, a lot of the work we do as the child. And that seems present in the work to me too, that there's this duality. And it's certainly in your artist statement, there's a duality. This is a piece that is as much, I think, for the children as for the absent mothers.
Yes.
But I just wonder if that strikes a bell with you when I talk about your inner child or you, the child, and
yeah.
even our stories as children of immigrants or as immigrants.
You're right. There are many layers of consideration and desire to make this piece. I'm an immigrant. I came from China. I've lived here for 20-some years. So that experience of migrating is linking with, I'm thinking about the experience of the migrants when they really have to take on this long journey, trying to find that place for a better life.
Uh-huh.
This understanding, even though my experience is so small compared to their difficulty, you know, facing the new challenges, the new culture, the new language, and how to overcome that, and how to find that possibility of building a new life. So a lot of my work is looking at the migrant experience and cultural memory. And another layer of this piece, it is the first time I'm working and making a piece as a mother. Usually my work is looking at women's work, the craft, the handmade, and also our role in life, where our tasks are usually about caring, providing, tending to either children or our family members, cleaning, you know, sewing, come back to my work over and over again. These really mundane, very often overlooked tasks are the very base of what we give to support, to enable the family life and therefore society.
Right.
And your question was very poignant in the sense where the inner child is being presented also for the first time in the piece. My parents left my sister and I when I was 4. They had to go to, so it's a complicated story. I'm going to try to make it clear. My parents were sent down to the village during China's Cultural Revolution. At Mao's directive, he took basically an entire generation of children, starting from year 14 all the way to early 20s, to send them to the countryside to be re-educated through labor.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm thinking about children being taken away, my parents were also kids who were taken away from their parents. So my sister and I were born in the village. And for 3 years only, the government decided to open up the university admissions to this lost generation of youth in China. So my parents were lucky enough. They applied and they both got admitted. And the policy then was you can't take your children with you. You can come back to the university to get your education, but you can't bring your kids. So my sister was sent away to live with relatives, sometimes together, sometimes separately. So our experience is nothing compared to these kids being torn away from their parents' arms, and they don't know where they went. They're into these spaces where they had no support. So we were with relatives, but I remember very vividly, I didn't know where my parents went. I was 4, and I was with these people that I've never met. They were my aunts. When I heard the news, that part of the memory that was put away very deeply came back, and I remember that helplessness. The sense of darkness of I don't know where I was and where my parents went. From that memory, and I'm imagining what the children were going through.
Yeah, we carry so much with us that we don't remember, and it's there as an imprint, and it's to have the ability to work through or express something we may not even understand ourselves
right.
through artwork is such a gift.
It is such a gift. And it's bringing the two together, you know, working both as the inner child and as the mother in this piece.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's a piece that's very close to my heart.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to just be able to realize it and not having to travel back to Texas. So hearing the news, thinking about those kids, and they were crying, you know, like they
yeah.
were talking about going through the center, and they were talking about hearing them cry, and I remember my response was, when they cried, they still had hope, and when they stopped crying, that's when they gave up. So when you go to those centers, if all the kids are quiet, that's even more traumatic and sad.
This is such personal work.
It's
deeply personal.
Mm-hmm.
The story and the art, this very poetic piece and the performance, which is very solemn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have hope that it communicates something? I mean, what would you like the audience to take away?
Yes, I have hope. And a lot of my work is about hopefulness and resilience. And that's why the sewing is a very important action for me. I've done a project called the Mending Project, where I had scissors, Chinese scissors, suspended above. And there's that one single woman performing this ongoing, persistent, simple action of sewing. Her sewing is expanding. The fabric is laid out and expanded, slowly taking over the space under. The soft fabric is balancing and countering this intense aggression from above, which are these sharp blades. So that's the first time I'm using women's work and their sewing action, this quiet resilience, to counter something that's seen as aggressive and violent. So for this piece, when I'm sewing, I'm renewing this seemingly meaningless object to give it a renewed purpose. The gesture of sewing is very symbolic in the sense of I'm fixing something, I'm healing something. The tear, the holes are being sewn together. And in fact, some of the pieces, they're the right size. After I sew, I give back to my daughter. And she will wear them. She doesn't mind the little stitch. Mm-hmm. And she knows when she has something broken in her clothes. She says, Mom, sew this for me. Mm-hmm. And I say, please. We fix things all the time. Yes. And it's such a comforting thing, both in my life, and it comes back to my work over and over again. In that action, I see hope. And that's also why the piece is called Each and Every. In the end, it's about each and every one of us, and each and every one of the audience, and each and every one of you. Mm-hmm. What do we do? My hope for this piece is to encourage the conversation to continue. I really hope this piece will travel over and over again, not for the art piece, but for this conversation to continue until all the kids are returned to their parents, their home, their loved ones, and then the piece can just never shut again. Then it served its purpose. And I think this project goes beyond the nature of an art piece because mm-hmm. of that. I was talking about this with my husband, actually. I said, yes, once all the kids go home, then this piece is finished and mm-hmm. it can just be put away. Another sense of hopefulness is these vertical strings. They lead your eye upward. So in both the previous gallery space at Mad Art Studio and at Crow Museum, there's light above. When you look up, you can't help but think about the future and lifting all this weight that's currently cemented on the ground. And it's a reminder to think about what we can do, both how to resolve this now and also how to prevent this from happening in the future. Mm-hmm. How could this happen? Why do we take away the most vulnerable? It's a hurt of a lifetime. Mm-hmm.
The MAP Radio Hour is produced by Matthew Horton. Theme song and logo by Otto Huditz. I'm Janelle Engelstad. Thanks for listening. And visit makeartwithpurpose.net to learn more about MAP, our projects, and to connect with us on social media.